I'm Nick Harcourt, and it's 88.5. I'm very happy to say that I'm sitting backstage at the Grammy Live Theater, where in a little while Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie are going to be doing a show and an interview. But before that, they're sitting down with me, and we're having a little bit of a conversation about the new record. First of all, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for hanging out and doing this.
Great pleasure.
Happy
indeed
to be here.
So much to talk about, and really it's all about this album. And before we even get into talking about the songs, how did it come about? How did a Buckingham McVie record come about, and when did you start to think about it?
Well, it started basically, I suppose, when I rejoined the band, and I'd written some demos in England, because I'm based and domiciled in England, and I'd sent some of these demos over to Lindsey, and he worked on them in his studio. And then prior to the rehearsals for the Mac tour, I'd gone over early and Lindsey suggested that we just try and cut some stuff together. And John and Mick were in town. And it was just by way of reconnecting, I suppose, with the rest of the band. It started off as just doing a few songs. There was no album intent originally.
When you guys, when you did come back into the band, you guys were recording some stuff as Fleetwood Mac as well. Was that a natural extension to do this?
Well, no, we really weren't recording anything as Fleetwood Mac. I had done some stuff of mine about 2 years previous, before the last Fleetwood Mac tour we did without Christine in 2013. We went in with a guy named Mitchell Froom, and who's a friend,
and a great producer.
Great producer, yeah. And we had cut material of mine, and I had put it on the shelf, before that tour, thinking I'd come back to it at the end of that tour, and it would be another solo album. And then, of course, at the end of that tour was when Christine reached out to rejoin, and of course we said, well, yeah. And us getting back in the studio with her was really, as she said, kind of an extension of welcoming her back into the band. There was no agenda for anything to be Fleetwood Mac. There was never a time when we were working on anything that we intended to be Fleetwood Mac. Like I said, I had this stuff that was solo stuff, and then working with her was just a way of reconnecting. And not to say that it couldn't have possibly turned into a Fleetwood Mac album at that time, but what happened was about 3 or 4 days in, we realized that our rapport and our chemistry was actually better than ever for the distance and the time we'd been apart.
And in actual fact, we shelved those songs as well.
Yeah.
Because that's when the tour started.
Right.
And it wasn't until about a year later that we went into the studio and listened to them. And I thought, these are too good to not do anything with.
So once you went into the studio, were you looking at both sets of demos, the stuff?
No,
that
I was really just wanting to work with Christine and get her creative muse in terms of her writing and the process of recording as part of her landscape, and not just having her get thrown into a tour only, because that's a completely different animal. And I think it was important to her to do that. But what happened was, like I say, less than a week into being in the studio, we realized we had such an extraordinary rekindling of our chemistry that we got kind of protective of it. And it occurred to us both simultaneously that maybe this should be actually a duet album. And that was when the seed for that idea came about.
Was there a song in particular?
Well, should we say Carnival Begin at this point? I mean, that was a song that I'd written about rejoining the band. That's what that song is all about, the sparkling things. And I Want It All, meaning that I committed myself completely to come back to the band.
Right.
So that's basically, and that actually started off as a faster song. And for some reason, I can't remember whose idea it was, we decided to cut it really slow. And it just became a really haunting, almost bluesy refrain, kind of harkening back to how I used to sing the blues years ago. And that gave me goosebumps when we did it like that. And I think that was We thought, this is really magical.
Well, why don't we listen to that song now? I'm sitting with Lindsay Buckingham and Christine McVie, and it's 88.5. It's 88.5, Nick Harcourt, backstage at the Grammy Museum and LA Live, all this stuff that goes on downtown. And prior to a little show with Lindsay Buckingham and Christine McVie, who you're probably aware of if you've been listening to the station in the last 6 months, have put out a new album. And we're playing a couple of the songs as we wind our way through the conversation. Once you got in the studio, and I know that you did stuff over at our mutual friend Jeff's place, The Village, and we do a lot of stuff at the radio station there as well. I believe you worked in a studio that you'd worked in before.
That's true.
Yeah.
Studio D,
Studio
correct?
D, it's, yeah. Which is a very famous studio for a lot of reasons, but initially because Fleetwood Mac worked in there.
That's right.
You we helped design it, didn't you?
Helped design it.
It was built for you guys,
it was
correct?
Built for us to yes. go in, and yeah. we did a lion's share of the work on the Tusk album there. Yes.
Right. So what was it like coming back into that space all these years later?
Well, comfortable. I mean, yeah. comfortable.
Kind of eerie, too, because it has not. They've maintained it immaculately, but they have not changed it one bit. So it was kind of like walking into a time warp, and that was part of the reason that we gravitated to that room, was because again we were looking to welcome Christine into an environment she was comfortable with, and it was a sort of an extension of our own past and a kind of a second home for us over the years, and so it seemed like the logical choice.
Yeah, I felt very at ease there. The moment I stepped in, because it was quite daunting, quite terrifying to think that I'd be playing again in front of large audiences, and to go into a small studio with this group of people was just the perfect way of reconnecting. So it was just a really good, warm feeling.
What was it like going in there again with, as you said, you mentioned that John and Mick were there, and they played on the record as well. Would they just come in and just sort of cut bits and pieces, or were they involved a little bit more in the process?
Mick was, I would say, involved more than John. John's always been one of these guys that likes to do his bass part and doesn't like to hang around.
He's
too
out.
Much.
There's my bass line. See you later. Yeah,
see you later. I'm going on my boat now.
Right?
yeah, that's right. True.
Let's pick another song from the album that we're going to listen to, and it's on you, Lindsay, to pick this one.
Well, the song that I would think of maybe that again meant something to me in one context, maybe when I cut it with John and Mick a couple of years earlier, and the different meaning it may have taken on once Christine was back, is one called "In My World." That was just really an idealistic thing about looking back on one's life and on the choices you've made, and the fact that in your world, you know, nobody's trying to qualify too much. No one is trying to really play too many games. There's you would hope that everyone is looking for an overall sense of unity and truth. And I think that in the context of Christine returning to Fleetwood Mac, which was really a beautiful karmic and timely thing to have happened at the time it did, you know, we were doing just fine as a four-piece, but there was something so meaningful about her returning and so resonant with the history of the band. And I think, you know, if you look back on the kind of arc that Fleetwood Mac has had, you know, there probably was not much chance in anyone's mind that we would still be doing this all these years later, and that the five of us would still have some sort of glue which is holding us together. And again, that glue turns out to be the love that we all have for each other. And I think the song took on a bit of that meaning as well.
So let's listen to it. This is In My World. And our guests, Lindsay Buckingham and Christine McVie. I'm Nick Harcourt. It's 88.5. You're listening to music that was actually recorded at a place that we hang out a little bit here and then when we do our live sessions at 88.5 over at The Village by Lindsay Buckingham and Christine McVie. That song called In My World. And you're talking a little bit about that song perhaps being a reflection on what's been and where you're at. As you said, perhaps getting a little bit older and putting things in perspective. Do either of you find that that is... a theme that works its way into not just writing songs, but as you go about your lives today as older people? And I'm asking for a friend. But, you know, as you get older, perspective shifts, doesn't it? And it becomes much more of a daily presence.
For me, well, I'm speaking purely for myself, but I don't feel any older. I mean, the physical fact is I am older, but I still think young, so I don't regard myself as a crusty old woman, not quite yet.
So you don't think about it too much?
I don't really think about it. No. I don't know about you, Lindsay.
Well, I just think in terms of your craft, your art, you do tend to think about it a little differently. On the one hand, I think you tend to develop over a number of years. If you are intent on maintaining, you know, your identity as an artist, and to be an artist means to work outside the envelope, to work outside the comfort zone, to take risks, to probably at some point be forced to disengage yourself from what is expected of you in favor of what engages you. I think by developing that discipline over time, you not only... take on your craft as a deeper part of your identity and not just sort of a lark that it might be when you're in your 20s. But I think you also, through becoming a bit older, are able to have a kind of gratitude for not only the gift, but for the life that you've been able to live and hopefully the way you've been able to enrich other people's lives along the way, as well as enriching your own. In a way, I don't think gratitude enters into it much when you're a young pup, you know?
We're going to wrap this up with one more song from the album. We started off with Carnival Begin, which is actually the 10th and final song on the album, and then we had In My World, which is the 3rd song on the album. What should we finish up with?
Well, Christine suggested the one that we've been doing a lot lately,
mm-hmm.
which is called Lay Down for Free.
Okay.
Tell
us a little bit about the song.
Well, this is another one of mine that goes back to the songs I cut with John and Mick before Christine rejoined. And I think people always ask me, what does that title mean? You know, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'd like to
I won't
see.
Lay down for free. And I think it just means that, you know, you can't just lay down and let fate or let circumstances roll over you. You've got to fight the fight.
So we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you guys for coming and talking to me a little bit about the new record. Christine McVie and Lindsay Buckingham. The album is named after them, so people will be able to find it. And we're going to wrap it up with the song you were just talking about, which is Lay Down for Free. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks so much. I won't lay